God bless you. You may be seated today. And we want to turn to Job in chapter 28 and verse 12 today. Job 28, 12. Job chapter 28 and verse 12. Job 28, 12. Chapter 28 of Job. And verse 12. Today, our subject is wisdom. It is an amazing thing to me, as I did my study this week, to see that Job actually says many of the same things that Solomon said 1,000 years later. It blows me away, because we know, you all know, that God called Solomon the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. Both past and future, as the Lord put it in the scriptures, of course, accepting Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, "A greater than Solomon is here," and we know that's true because he's God. But taking that into account, though, that Solomon was so wise, what a mind blower to begin to read in Job as he's going through his trials, and all of a sudden he starts saying things that Solomon writes 1,000 years later. As many scholars believe that Job was around 2000 BC at the time of Abraham. And wow, what a blessing again to recognize and realize what comes through trial is great revelation. Oh, how the Lord just brings great revelation upon our brother Job. And here he is, filled with the wisdom of God to impart to us all these years later. And so, with great pleasure, without any further ado, let's begin reading in Job chapter 28, verse 12. It says this, Job says, and asks kind of a rhetorical question, because he knows the answer, he's going to give it to us in the Lord a few verses later. He says, "Where shall wisdom be found? Where shall wisdom be found?" Good question. "And where is the place of understanding? Where does understanding dwell?" Really, really excellent question. Well, before we go on any further, we do want to define wisdom. Wisdom is simply the proper application of knowledge. There's a lot of high IQs among us and a lot of high IQs in this world. And a lot of people know a lot of things. But the trick is to apply that knowledge correctly to your life and into the world scene that you've been put into. And that is wisdom. That's the definition of wisdom, applying correctly the knowledge that you have. And then it says, understanding. Where's the place of understanding? Understanding, of course, is to understand the situation, to actually apply wisdom to the situation through understanding the situation. Something comes down in your life, something's going on over here, and you get the understanding about it. I understand why this is going on. One of the greatest victories you can have in relationship is to understand where the other person is coming from. Sometimes folks will say different things that are really hurtful and you want to lash back, but if you step back and receive understanding about where they're coming from, you see it in a different light, and you can almost go, "Oh, that's why they're saying that." And then you can minister instead of grow angry. So it's so great to have understanding. And a real example of understanding would be to understand the parables of Jesus. To actually be able to read the stories and parables that Jesus tells to make spiritual points and understand them. What a blessing that is. So this is a great question that Job asks, that he wants to bring in the Holy Spirit that answer. Where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Now, before he answers the question, he goes ahead and does something that Solomon does also years later, that God wants to do first, and that is to show us how valuable wisdom is, how very valuable wisdom is. In fact, Solomon says it later this way. He says, "With all you're getting, get wisdom and get understanding." Oh, to have the wisdom of the Lord and have understanding about your situations in life. And so we get scriptures now about how valuable wisdom is. Verse 13, "Man knows not the price thereof." We just don't know the price thereof. "Neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth says, 'It is not in me.' Wisdom's not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir. And Ophir is a place where Solomon would collect his 25 tons of gold a year. And no one knows where Ophir really is. Scholars guess India. Some guess Tarshish would be Spain or England. But it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx stone, or even the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. A ruby is the most expensive gem in the world. It's much more expensive than gold or even diamonds. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. And so the Lord is trying to hit us where we live, tell us the truth, that really we should value wisdom and instruction and understanding more than we do our monthly or weekly or bi-monthly paycheck. It's more valuable than gold. Its price is far above rubies. Oh yeah. Now, this sounds familiar, I hope, to you, because actually from Proverbs 8:11, Solomon says, like we mentioned before, 1,000 years later, wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Anything that you might desire in your heart, anything that you would just really like to have or you seek after, can't even be compared to wisdom. And why is that? Well, the answer to that's so very simple, because wisdom and instruction and how to apply knowledge to our lives is the most important thing a person can have. The most important thing that a person can have. To know how to have a purpose for life, how to walk in the way that we should walk, to really be sincerely, deep with inside of our souls, joyful, fulfilled people. That's the most important thing. Anyone will tell you, I love my job, I'm glad with my job, and if they're not glad with their job, they're miserable. And if they're not happy with their lot in life, they're miserable. And so the most important thing to have is a way to have joy in my heart, is a way to live my life in a purposeful way, is a way to allow that which I was created to be to happen in me. And if that's not going on, man, I've got to go after wisdom and instruction, and I've got to go after understanding to get a better attitude, to adjust my thinking, to be in that right place that each human soul searches for. And so it is above rubies, it is above gold, it's above all that. With all you're getting, get wisdom, get understanding, to quote Proverbs again. Now, with that then, let's go ahead and read on and begin to find the answer to the question. The question is asked again after we're told how much it's worth getting that wisdom and understanding. The question is asked again in verse 20, chapter 28 of Job. Whence then comes wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Where is it? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all the living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard of the fame thereof with our ears. And see, and that's as far as some folks get with this subject called wisdom. As they refuse the living God, as they refuse to be instructed, they refuse to receive understanding, to receive wisdom, all they can do is hear about it. And so as people march off to hell at the end of their lives, it says destruction and death say, we've heard of the fame thereof, but that's as far as they get. But we don't want to stop there, do we, to just hear about wisdom. We want to find it. Where's the place of understanding? And the answer begins to be given by Job in verse 23. God understands the way thereof. He knows the place thereof, and only God does. The Lord is the one that understands wisdom. The Lord is the one that knows the place of understanding. We read in Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord, because it comes from Him. It's as simple as that. It all comes from God. And so there is no wisdom, and there's no understanding, zero zip, nor counsel against the Lord. I've often shared with you, and I always love to think about this, Noah Webster, who wrote Webster's Dictionary that we use today, they've revised it now because Noah Webster is dead and all the liberals have taken over. But Noah Webster said, number one definition in the dictionary of wisdom is very simply one sentence, that which comes from God. That which comes from God. And of course, to be politically correct, you got to take that out of the dictionary, right? But oh, I read the original, and it is the truth through and through. In fact, that place that understanding is found only in Jesus Christ. Job said in chapter 19, one of the first revelations that he had, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand on the earth in the last days, and I shall see him with my eyes. And actually, the New Testament teaches very clearly that the only place that real wisdom is found is in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, that of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, number one, wisdom, number two, righteousness, number three, sanctification, that is, we're being daily conformed to His image, and number four, redemption. We've been redeemed by His blood shed on the cross. And as we believe that and receive that sacrifice that was given for us on that cross, we become wise. Because in Him, in Christ, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so that is the place of understanding. That is where wisdom is, in Christ. And Job knew it, as he knew that his Redeemer lived. And he begins to talk about the Lord. God understands the way thereof, and He knows the place thereof. Now, we mentioned earlier understanding the parables of Jesus. Well, Jesus says some really neat things as He speaks one of His most famous parables, the parable of the sower. So let's take a look at that. Let's go to Matthew 13:10. Matthew chapter 13:10, and get this teaching that we've just talked about, all wisdom being in Christ, confirmed as Jesus speaks a parable and explains to the disciples. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew 13:10. Now the parable of the sower is a story that Jesus tells to make a spiritual point. A parable is simply a little story that does make a spiritual point. And Jesus used mainly agrarian stories because he was an agrarian society. If he lived today, he'd probably tell surfing stories, lowrider stories, stories of things that we understand from our youth and stories that we understand today. Maybe he'd use stories at the mall or at the hairdresser shop or things like that. But because he lived then, he used agrarian stories because that was their lifestyle. He was relating to them. And so the parable of the sower is just simply a farmer is a sower who went forth to sow his seed or to plant his seed in the field. And later he tells us that the seed is the Word of God. And then he uses three different areas where the seed can fall. And in some of these areas, the seed does not prosper. But oh, that seed that falls on good ground, it springs up and it brings forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold of fruit in our lives. That Word of God that's implanted in our hearts, which is able to save our souls, is the way the Scripture explains that. Yes, to receive the engrafted, implanted Word of God. To let the Word of God dwell richly within us. Let it dwell within us and do its fine work as the Lord speaks to our hearts and we read the scriptures together and it brings forth a lot of fruit. That's good ground. Well, after he told this parable, his disciples came to him in verse 10 and said to him, "Why do you speak unto them in parables and these little stories? Why are you talking this way, Lord?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has." A person that is part of death and destruction and refuses the gift of Christ his whole life, even that precious gift of having a living soul and having the Lord's breath breathed into him to make him a living soul, will be taken away from him, and he will end up in hell and destruction. And so Jesus speaks in parables that only those that have the Spirit of God can understand what he's talking about. That's why he does it, and that's what he's saying about it. For whosoever has, if I've opened my heart to Christ and accepted the Lord for understanding and wisdom, because that's where it is, more shall be given to me. I'll understand more. I'll receive more gifts. I'll receive abilities to do things for the Lord and in the Lord through his Spirit. But whosoever has not rejects Christ, rejects the wisdom of God, for wisdom only dwells with God. From him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, "By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross." Lord, please, in Jesus' name, keep us from ever having a gross heart. "Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart." And there, herein then, is the secret that's given to us by Jesus' own mouth, this next line, "and should be converted." You must be born again. You must be converted to Jesus Christ to understand anything, to really see things as they really are, and to receive the wisdom of God and the direction of God and understanding the proper world view. I must have Christ. I must be converted. And then he says, if they're converted, then I'm going to heal them. And then he says something very wonderful and encouraging to the disciples and each one of us that know Jesus Christ. And we surely want to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to receive Jesus if you haven't done that yet. This is what's said to us. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see," "and your ears, for they hear." And so we must be born again. We must open our hearts to Jesus Christ. And then, as he did for the disciples, it says and tells us that he opened their minds, that he opened their hearts to understand Scripture. And then we can understand the parables of Jesus. We can understand life situations. We can have the right attitude when something comes up, and the right attitude for living every single day in the right way. But we must be converted. We must come to the Lord. For in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so there it is, very clearly from the New Testament. Well, let's go on back then to verse 27 of Job 28. And see what Job says next, which is wonderful, powerful, of course. Let's go back to 28 and verse... We read 23, so we want to start verse 24 and on through to 27. So verse 24, Job 28. Let's read 23 again. "God understands the way thereof, and he knows the place thereof, for he looks to the ends of the earth. He sees under the whole heaven to make the weight of the winds," or actually to control the speed of the winds, "and he weighs the waters by measure. I love this verse because it applies so beautifully to the situation we have in California right now. Is that the weathermen scared us to death in the last few days, didn't they? They said, man, it's going to rain so hard that all you poor people that are around where the fires happened, you're going to be washed away. You know, evacuating the canyons and all these things, I mean, it's scary enough to scare you to death. Well, when the rain comes, it comes lightly and wonderfully to water the earth, to bring forth seed for the sower and bread for the eater, to begin to help those hills back up there again, to pop up some grain, to grow back wonderfully. That's God's Spirit. He's the real weatherman. He's got control. Yeah. And as it says right here again, He weighs the waters by measure. He brings the waters by measure. So we thank God. Now, wouldn't it be neat? I was just imagining, and this hit me last service as I was teaching this. Wouldn't it be neat if on Channel 7, the weatherman comes on? I guess it's Dallas Rains or someone like that. Anyway, my favorite was the old guy, Dr. Fishback. Do you remember him? Oh, I love that guy. Anyway, the weatherman comes on, and he says, we would just like to give praise and honor to Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the body of Christ prayed and they sought the Lord that we would be incorrect about the amount of rain that's coming so that our homes would not be washed away. And guess what happened? The Lord answered that prayer. So let's just take a moment of silence here at you out there in TV land to praise and worship the Lord. You know, wouldn't that be awesome? Man, that would be something to see. But of course, that's too much to hope for, isn't it? Because who's the prince of the power of the air? The devil himself. So I don't know if TV will ever come around again. But I hope they do someday. That would be great. In the kingdom, I guess we won't have TV. We'll just kind of have little antenna or something. I don't know. I have no idea. At least we'll have wings. No, we won't have wings. We're getting all kinds of theological arguments on what's going to happen to us, right? But, oh, it's going to be great to move into the kingdom, as Pastor Bill was pointing out earlier. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we look at this. Let's go on. Verse 26, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and thunder, then he did see it. And modern translation says, what is it is wisdom. Then he saw wisdom, and he declared it, and he prepared it. Yes, he searched it out, or he tested it. God is the creator of wisdom. The proper way to apply knowledge is created by God. It was prepared by him, and it was tested by him. You know, I kind of pictured, I like to use, get picture thoughts about these things. Is God's got a big pot there. He's now going to make wisdom. And he puts this in and that in and a little more of this. So try a little of that, you know. And then he tested it. He tasted it. Need salt. And so he goes back and puts whatever he needed to actually test it, to prove it, to see it's perfect. It's wonderfully perfect and wonderfully perfect for each one of your lives. His answer to every question you would have, his answer to every situation you face, and every dilemma that you have and that you need instruction about, he's got you covered. And he actually says in the book of James, as we know, we quote it all the time, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God will give it liberally. I love that word liberally. I think about lavishing wisdom upon us and instruction for the situation. You know, this thing about the rain, it says when he made the rain and the lightning and the thunder, he saw wisdom at the same time, and he prepared wisdom also along with the rain. Well, I had this dear sister come up after last service. She was so blessed because she wanted to share a miracle with me about the rain. That they have a preschool situation where kids go in and out of the preschool, and the moms were real worried because it was pouring rain. And it was getting towards noon, and they were supposed to leave. We'd have to go out in the rain. And the mom was kind of going, oh no, it's raining so hard. You know, you're going to get wet, might get sick, for all the little kiddies and the cars and so forth. And so this sister just was led by the Holy Spirit and said, why don't we pray? God controls the rain. That it just stop while the kids are loaded. And they prayed. And lo and behold, the rain stopped exactly at the time that the kids got out at 12 noon. And it stopped raining for a half an hour, which that's how long it takes to unload all the kids, and they all got gone. And the rain started again. And I'm going, Lord, you're just too good, you know. He really is in control of these things. And so when he created the rain, and he created the thunder and the lightning, he prepared wisdom at the same time. He tested it and searched it out. Now, as we are in him, as we've been seeing, we understand. And that wisdom comes to us. For the non-believer that doesn't have the Lord, doesn't have Jesus Christ, because in him are all the treasures of wisdom, there won't be any wisdom to be gotten. We'd like to see this. I think it's important to see it in the New Testament, because it can help you also not get too angry at those that just don't know what in the heck's going on. They can't help it if they don't know the Lord, because they don't have the instruction and the wisdom from God with the proper worldview. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And so really, with that thought, we should feel sorry for them and pray for them and ask God to save them so that they might have the gift of wisdom put within their chests, really, as we receive the Lord Jesus into our hearts. But let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Now it says this, it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You see, the person that doesn't know the Lord has no clue about the things that God has prepared for them if they would come to him. And if they did, oh, I think that would be a great incentive to accept the Lord. But God asks us to approach him by faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But, verse 10, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And so you'll be walking along as a Christian, and all of a sudden, out of the sky blue yonder, comes Sky King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll give you a revelation by his Spirit of heaven to come. And I think that anyone that's been a Christian here for any length of time, you know that's true. All of a sudden, it'll just hit you. At a prophecy seminar, at a Bible study, a Bible prophecy, maybe, or even walking down the street, looking at the creation, a beautiful sunrise or sunset, and all of a sudden, it'll just hit you, and you get the Holy Ghost goosebumps. You go, Lord, you're coming, and I know it, because your Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, and the earnest of the Holy Spirit, the down payment of God for the redemption of the body has been given to me. And all of a sudden, the instruction of the Holy Ghost breaks into my heart and says, you know what, there's a really neat place after this, and you're going there. For the Holy Spirit teaches us all things and shows us things to come. And so it says that eye hasn't seen nor ear heard, neither has been imagined in the mind of God the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Because I'm a man, I understand the things of men. And when a man comes in and thinks that he's done something nobody else has ever done or thought about, I just go, bro, I know what you're saying, because I'm a man, I understand the spirit of a man. But it says this, the next line there says, even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. That's why I need to be converted, to understand the things of God. That's why I need to be converted, to receive wisdom, because I can't understand God without the Spirit of God. I'm a man. And a man's spirit understands the spirit of man. But only the Spirit of God understands the things of God, so I need to get the Spirit of God. And so he comes and makes his dwelling place in me, and then I understand. And then I have wisdom. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, thank God, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And what fun that is. What a joy it is to receive from the Spirit of God living inside me the things that God's prepared for me. Not just in this life, giving glimpses and visions and hopes and dreams in the Lord, but for the next life, which is a total mind blower. And every time we get one of those gushes from the Lord, it is just so wonderful. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. To him it would be crazy to announce over television station that we should give glory to God for helping us with the rain situation. That would be foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so, just a little word that might be helpful to you, it's been helpful to me. You know, if I watch the O'Reilly Factor and get really ticked at the people he's talking about, just go, oh, kill him, tear their eyes out, you know, and that kind of thing. I turn it off sometimes because I get too upset. But the thing is if you stop and say, okay, there's a bunch of natural people out there that don't have the Spirit of God, and they have no clue. And so their worldview is incorrect. Their thinking is all backwards. They call evil good and good evil. They want to save the whales and kill the babies. You know, just backwards. Everything is backwards, you know. But they don't know any better. So where does that lead me? That leads me to the message that God has given us to give. The power of God unto salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can help. Because you can't teach them wisdom. Sit down, let me instruct you. Don't you understand that whales have blubber and you use them to burn oil and stuff? And just, it's okay, we don't want to kill all the whales, that's right. But you know what? Babies are a lot more important. They're little human beings and you want to abort them. You know, and they'll just go, Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. But if they get saved, then you get a better reaction. What is this? Why doesn't everybody know about this? I've been trying to tell you for 65 years, you know. I've been beating you over the head with the Bible. And you know, it's true. If you're a non-believer even now, please understand, we are very zealous for what we have to say. And it's hard on you sometimes, especially if we're a new Christian. You know, somebody said you should lock a new Christian up for a few weeks to let him calm down, you know. But I don't know if that's true. Because we're fanatics in their mind. But what does the word fanatic mean? The word fanatic in the dictionary says a person that's unreasonably excited about something is a fanatic. I have every reason in the world to be excited about Jesus Christ. I have every reason in the world to want everybody in this world to get saved before it's too late, and to receive the wisdom of God, the instruction of God, and the understanding of worldview and life situations. How can I keep silent about that? How can I not wring your neck if you don't believe? You know, I mean, so I have to back off. And we do that because we love you. And we go out in the spirit of love. Amen? Yeah, we got to do that because that's who God is. He is love. So there it is. Well, let's go ahead and read a little bit more now. The natural man doesn't get it. So we have to understand that. We have to pray for them. And the only thing we can do for them is pray they get saved. That's it. Because without being saved, there's no wisdom. Now, in verse 15, it says, but he that is spiritual judges all things. There's that little button inside of you when you accept Christ, that when you go into a situation that's not of God, it goes, eh. But when it is of God, you go, yeah, that's right. That's good. So we judge all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. That was really important for Job. Job had to learn not to listen to his friends. because they were condemning him. They were coming against him for no good reason, without a cause. And when he first heard them speaking to him, he wanted to kill himself. He wanted to be dead. Why was I ever born? But as the Spirit of God began to speak to him and said, you know what? Don't let anybody judge you. Just put it aside. Shine it. Look to me. And Job learned that more and more and more as we go through the book. And now he's talking about wisdom in his book. And so he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we, and this is a tremendous privilege, brothers and sisters, and I know most of you are saved right here, and this is a privilege that you've been given. We have the mind of Christ. Now, you can, as a Christian, forget to abide in Christ and ask him for his mind on a matter. And I really think that that's why the old panic button deal is one of Satan's favorite things. Oh, here's a situation. You got to act quickly. Just do anything. Do anything, even if it's wrong. I say, God, wait here. I'm going to go do anything, even if it's wrong. And you blow it. But I can stop and receive the mind of Christ because of him who lives within me on any given situation. If you can't do anything better, send up an arrow prayer. Lord, help me now to face whatever you're facing. But if I remember and I wait upon the Lord and abide in Christ and I take time to acknowledge him, I can actually receive the mind of Jesus Christ on how to proceed. Wow. Just like that sister that was standing there listening to the other lady say, oh no, the rain's coming down heavily. What are we going to do? The little kids will get wet. She received the mind of Christ, didn't she? And said, why don't we pray? Why don't we go to the Lord? He's in charge. And he just turned the spigot off. Oh, turn off the spigot. And that was it. It's a wonderful thing to get God's answer, isn't it? Got to always remember. And so, the instruction. No one instructs the Lord, but we have the mind of Christ. And we see the mind of Christ in Job, don't we? Even in these scriptures about wisdom that are so beautifully confirmed all those years later by the wisest man that ever lived. And so the mind of Christ dwelling within Job. Okay, let's go on back. We just have one more thought. Job chapter 28, verse 28. So I'll read verse 27 again. It says, then did he see it, he declared it, he prepared it, yea, he searched it out, he tested it, the wisdom. And then in verse 28 it says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. And so, in a nutshell, the answer is the Lord. The answer is the Redeemer. The answer is Jesus. But in the working out of what Jesus does, is he brings us to a place of fearing the Lord. That is wisdom. And to departing from evil, that's the place of understanding. And so these things need to be thought about. Now we do find a very familiar scripture in Proverbs 8:13 about departing from evil. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, the Lord says, I do hate. And that's Proverbs 8:13. And also we see as an example of not fearing the Lord in Job 6:14 in the friends of Job. And that's this really important scripture. Let's go back and review to Job 6:14. This is an example of how not to fear the Lord. Job has been accused by his friends, and the title of this section of scripture is simply Job calls his friends deceitful. And he speaks to them in verse 14 and says this, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friends. You guys, you should have had pity on me and not accuse me, but to pity me and work with me to get better. And then he says to them, but he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. The person that doesn't pity those that are afflicted but accuses them does not have operating in their lives the fear of God. God is like a really good dad. He is to be respected, to be held in reverence and awe. You know, I love the Gonzalez boys' stories about their dad. I've heard stories from several Gonzalez boys about their dad. Mickey, Tony, and Joe. Well, I'll let you know, don't mess with dad. Dad's in heaven now, but dad was very strict. And when they knew that they might be in trouble with dad, they shook in the proverbial boots. But now they talk about it with a smile on their face and great respect and love for their father, because he was a really, really good dad. And it's a blessing to talk to them about it. I love their expressions, their faces. They still shake a little bit when they talk about dad. It's a good dad. Well, this is the Lord, and I think this describes best the fear of the Lord. These friends of Job's should have quaked in their boots at the living God, who is the real judge, before they went about to judge their friend. Every man stands before God, the righteous judge, and God is able to make you stand, as it says in Romans 14, and make me stand. And I remember one thing that Sherry said that was really neat, is that she, I think she read this, but if you're confronted with a really new Christian that's really rough around the edges, kind of a diamond in the rough, and it's really irritating personality or whatever, and you just throw up your hands and think, wow, what's God going to be able to do with them? The writer that spoke to Sherry just said, wait 10 years and see what God can do. And that rough stone becomes this beautiful diamond, and you should have been patient. And you should have just done what you could to help them along the way. You just wait 10 years. And I've had that happen here at the church many times. A person will go away prideful and pushy and wanted to take over the church. And they come back and they stand in line to see me after people want to talk to me after service and come up and put their tail between their legs and apologize to me. I've had two assistant pastors go out from here where they used to judge me and put me down and got mad at me because I wasn't doing it right. And now they're head pastors. And they both came back literally in tears to apologize to me because now they're facing what I face. Now they know what it's like to be a senior pastor. Mm-hmm. On a desert island, they'd discover my remains and say, oh, here's the first caveman. I had no clue how to do that. But see, pastors do what pastors do, and guys that build houses do what they do, and we got to appreciate each other's work. I don't know why I'm getting into this. Anyway, let's get out of that. Let's just move on. Yeah. Where are my glasses? Oh, my goodness. What do I do with my glasses? Lord, I can't see. An embarrassing moment. Ah. Okay, so, yes, so Job's friends were wrong to accuse Job. Yes, they were. They were wrong. And it's because they didn't have that fear, respect for that righteous God, the judge who needs to take care of all those things. Okay, so I'd like to just conclude today, praise the Lord, and before I embarrass myself again, and let's turn to Psalm 19, verse 7. And this is the conclusion. It kind of sums up all that Solomon says about wisdom and all that Job says about wisdom. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, And why is the law of the Lord perfect? Because he created wisdom, he tested it, he tasted it, and pure, unadulterated, 100% wisdom is in his law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise, and there's that word, wise, the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord, now there's the fear of the Lord, is clean. Oh, it's clean. To respect him, to have awe of him, to love him, and yes, shake in your boots from time to time that you're going to hurt dad, is good for you. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. And there's that clause from Proverbs, from Job. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Our errors have to be pointed out to us by the Lord. There is a way that seems right to a man, but that way leads to destruction. And so I've got to go to God to understand my errors. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And here's one of the finest verses in the Bible to me, and I hope to you too. Let the words of my mouth. I'm a preacher. I got to pray this hard. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And there's that word, redeemer. And so at this time, we want to go ahead and pray before we have the band come up to lead us in a couple more songs. And we'd like to go ahead and encourage you to pray this verse to the Lord from your heart. And we're going to have that time of silence that we have from time to time. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So let's just have a time of silence that we can each talk to the Lord. You might want to confess some sin. You might want to ask God to help you to put a guard upon your mouth, to make even the meditation of your heart acceptable in his sight. So let's pray. So, Father, we thank you now, Lord, for seeing every heart, Lord. Each one of us is individual, and we have our individual needs, Lord, and it's so neat to be able to express those things. And because you're a spirit, you hear all of us at once. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you look on the heart. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for leading us and guiding us and providing for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, just to conclude the service, we want to make sure to give you an invitation. If you don't know Jesus yet, oh, how we want to see you come into the kingdom of God. Receive that wisdom, that anointing, instruction, understanding that only Jesus can bring. And you need to come, leave your sin, and take the righteousness of Christ. The prayer room's open for you right here. Jerry and Stu are ready to go in and pray for you. and you can receive and get a Bible here free. We'd love to give you a Bible. May the Lord bless you now. May God just continue to instruct you day by day, conforming you to His image. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.